Lecture 36. After Alexander.
As we conclude our study of ancient Mesopotamia, we will glance ahead at the history of the region after Alexander's campaigns. Other cultures, the Seleucids, Parthians, and Sasanians, controlled the regions that we have discussed, and in some instances they took up the ideas of their predecessors. These successor empires attempted to recreate the borders of the Achaemenid Empire, so we will be traveling over very familiar terrain. Cities remained important centers of population, but their location and their economy changed to accommodate the increasing importance of trade. As we survey the outline of historical events, we will look back at some of the recurring themes in the course: connections between Mesopotamia and the rest of the ancient world, both the eastern states nearby and the areas further west, how cultures connect with the past, what cults and religions drew worshippers, and how rulers presented themselves to their people. Historians and archaeologists usually mark the end of ancient Mesopotamian history with the death of Alexander the Great, or sometimes even earlier, with the reign of Xerxes. The reasons for this have less to do with any significant changes in the way of life in Mesopotamia, and we will see, in fact, that there are similar situations in which empires rise and fall, than with the different expertise necessary for research into the civilizations that occupied the area. New languages became common, Greek, for example, in the aftermath of Alexander, Parthian, and these require expertise in fields different than those necessary to study the period we have covered. Even more challenging, however, are the issues raised by the scattered and diverse nature of the evidence. Far less archaeological evidence is known for the period after the Persians. In part, this is because archaeologists were focused on exploring the early development of civilization, and in part because the new cities founded during this period lie beneath urban centers that are still occupied. In general, there has been relatively little systematic analysis of the cultures that follow the Achaemenids. And this situation makes us even more aware of the divide between the ideas and events documented in the official sources of whatever group was ruling Mesopotamia and the lives of the vast majority of people. In previous lectures, we've been able to extract some sense of daily life. We know that farmers were able to produce good harvests, especially when the water supply was secure, that people enjoyed city life and engaged in a number of professions: weavers, brewers, teachers, entrepreneurs in real estate and trade, and that feasts with lavish amounts of food and drink were hosted by temples or kings that brought the community together. But these glimpses into the concerns of a Sumerian or Babylonian virtually disappear without archaeological evidence. And as a result, for the later eras that we're reviewing now, we must focus on the ruling power. Alexander's general Seleucus achieved control over most of the eastern part of the empire, from India to the coast of Syria and Palestine, although this large territory was extremely difficult to control. The Seleucid Empire dates from 312 BC, when Seleucus took the throne in Babylon, to 63 BC, when the Roman general Pompey defeated the last of the Seleucid rulers in Syria. Much of what we know about these Hellenistic kings focuses on their battles to capture various territories. Seleucus himself led expeditions to India and to Anatolia. He campaigned at least as widely as Alexander the Great had. Seleucus founded a new capital to accommodate his rule, Seleucia on the Tigris, about 20 miles south of Baghdad. And this city was in a key position to benefit from river trade.